Polarity is the tension between opposites. And
Mm-hmm.
if you're like clinging to one side of your psyche and your abilities and your qualities, you lose the polarity in yourself. And then suddenly your man starts looking at you like, not as, you know. And when I got all my balance back and I was in my own tension of polarity between my own alpha and omega, suddenly I was super hot to Justin again because it was like,
This is so
I was
interesting.
just fully loaded, you know?
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. And today I'm joined by London Winters, and she is a sacred intimacy teacher and author of two books that I've actually got going here. The Awakened Woman's Guide to Everlasting Love. I bought this years and years ago, and I was like, whoa. And then she actually wrote a book recently, Playing with Fire, which I'll also be asking her more about. And the reason that I invited London on the podcast was that London and her partner Patrick are one of the few examples, I think, of long-term relationships with a kid, like real, real relationships that incorporate polarity, that are really working with polarity, and that are, you know, the real life is happening and this is happening at the same time. And so they've been such a beautiful example of what that could look like. So I'm really excited to have London on the podcast today. So hi, London, welcome.
Hi, thanks. Happy
Hi.
to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Let's just dive right in. I would love to hear a little bit about your story, because I know you speak very openly about it in the book, but what is kind of your story with femininity, with love, with relationship, to where you got today, to where you are teaching this so powerfully? Would you like to share a little bit?
Sure. My story is very sexually suppressed childhood. Grew up with very religious, you know, nuns, the whole deal. Was a always have been like a very sexual person. Didn't know what to do with the, like, suppress it, you know, came out sideways in so many ways. And then I transferred it to kicking ass in the world. And I became like the master manifester, you know, I mean, like, won an Emmy in my early 20s, you know, just whatever I wanted to do. I had the Midas touch. I had like six different careers in about 15 years that I dominated all of them. It was, you know, that sexual power, that Shakti is something else. And I just was putting it into alpha. You know, I was putting into masculine mode. And eventually, like, winning yet another award, I even became a fitness competitor and was like championship fitness competitor at 38, beating girls who were 22 in physique. You know, I mean, I just literally, like, that Shakti, if I had one message, it's the power of Shakti. But standing there winning yet another award, I just was like, this is empty. This is kind of a wasteland. And I don't, like, I have all of these accomplishments, but I don't have deep love. I don't have the fulfillment. And so I went on a journey to find out where I had gone wrong. And I found sexual yoga. It had all of the answers for me. Long story short, became very dedicated practitioner and attracted Justin into my life. I attracted him into my life. He's 14 years younger than me. It wasn't really like a younger man thing, because he's his consciousness is so huge. It was, I really felt like I was with the biggest man I knew, even though he was so much younger than me. You know, at the time he was dating 12 women. I'm not kidding. Like, he just had this like rotating platter. All of them knew about each other. They were just happy to get a night, you know, and that wasn't really my deal. I was like, you know, I, at the time, sex is a living prayer for me. I mean, truly, like, even though I didn't grow, I didn't become religious. Like, I have a very deep relationship with my creator and the divine, and accessing the divine through sex is like my life's mission. It's the only thing I care about. So when this guy is like seeing all these other women, I just knew, like, I could do that aesthetic. I could, like, you know, untethered soul this one, but I don't want to, I don't want to, I want to have the deepest full body orgasm that I can only have if I know you won't just like walk out the second it's over. You know, I wanted to have the aesthetic of deep, not wide. And so even though I met this like phenomenal man who rocked my world in so many ways, I walked away because I was like, listen, I want to go deep, not wide. And I'm not going to make myself wrong for that. And I'm not going to make you wrong for going wide. And so I said, you know, let's just go our separate ways. The love is thick. We're soulmates. There's no doubt about it. But I'm doing sex as a living prayer. And every time I feel other women on you, it's like something's not available for me, you know? And I don't want to go rehab that. That's just how I'm going to be. And I'm going to own it and no big deal.
Yeah.
So we split up and I really didn't even make him wrong. I wasn't a victim. I just trusted my path, went on my path. And he ended up coming back and being like, all right, I sowed a lot of other oats and like, there's just no depth available out there. And I feel depth with us. And he said, I'm all in. Well, and then of course I had my next challenge, which was how to trust him again. Cause that was a lot that I went through. And so I brought my practice. And I softened into showing him, like, I didn't pry myself open, even though my warning bells, you know, I was like, all right, but just so you know, I'm going to have to like rebuild my trust here, you know, and we did it together. And he has just rocked it ever since. And that was over a decade ago. Wow. Then we had a baby. We had a surprise pregnancy. I was 47 and I thought I was in menopause. Turns out I was pregnant. We delivered it when I was 48 at home. The whole birth, Justin breathed me like tantric practice. So we basically gave birth to this kid together for 24 hours of labor.
Wow.
And yeah, we've been keeping it alive. We keep, you know, playing with fire really means like keep the pilot light alive under all conditions and circumstances. And so she's 5 and we've been doing it for her whole life and our whole life before her. And I'm just happy to talk about it because there's nothing like, you know, having a trust container that's so big and wide. The only excuse there is not to open is yourself, you know? And so I just love talking about it. And that's really what our book is about, playing with fire.
Thank you so much for sharing so much of your story. This is going to sound like the most ridiculous comparison, but my listeners know that about 8 months ago, I got a puppy and it was just a puppy, but it like, I don't know if you've heard of the puppy blues. It's like, normally it happens in month 2 where you're like, what did I do? This is so intense. I had it on day 2 where I was like, this is so intense. This is crazy. And it was the hardest 6 months ever. And I saw the switch happen between me and my partner at the time of just, we are not connecting. We are only in the practical, in the exhausted, in the overstimulated, overwhelmed. We didn't have a crying baby. We had a barking dog that would bark at me for like 8 hours and just wouldn't, his nervous system wouldn't settle. And we had angry neighbors and whatnot. I'm not saying it's the same as a kid, but I had a taste of, you know, the shift that happens in a relationship of just going into the practical, going into the structure, into the household, into who does what when, and both being exhausted and overwhelmed and stressed out. And no intimacy, no connection. You just become managers together. And especially as a woman, as the feminine, like I noticed I was drying up quite literally in every way, shape, or form because I wasn't connecting to anything juicy, anything watery. Couldn't feel my body anymore. Couldn't feel my eros. There was nothing. Couldn't access it if I wanted it to. So again, for anybody listening, I'm not saying this is the same as a kid. I can only imagine it's so much worse. But your story of what you've cultivated with your partner is so powerful because, wow, you're doing that while having a family, while running a business together, while doing all of that. Could you maybe give us a bit of an example of what that looks like? Like, what does a daily life look like? Like how, because I'm sure you also have like, who does the groceries and who's doing this and who's.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm doing the kind of parenthood that's like the harder road. So like, we don't eat out. I cook for her, you know, we don't allow much screen time. So we don't just like park her in front of the TV very much. We're trying to like create good structures for her to thrive. And it makes parenting way harder. If we were just eating out, you know, I could just like pile everybody in the car and not worry about anything, you know, have her eat the lunch at school. That's like crap, but I'm choosing to do it the hard way. And I'm also choosing to keep passion alive. So I have, in many ways, I'm like climbing the highest hill there is, but there's a principle in this work that I think some people get and some people don't. And it really is the game changer for whatever game you're playing. You know, like all of us women are heroes. I mean, we all have our own things we're choosing to be excellent at. And then how do you keep passion in the picture, right? Because you want to have purpose and you want to engage your alpha and you want to affect the world in beautiful ways. I want to be a great parent. I want to be a great coach. I want to be a great author. You know, I also simultaneously wrote Playing with Fire for the entire toddler period. It was bananas. But one of the biggest things that I implement as a discipline, as a sexual yogini, is it's kind of like an equation. There's a challenge, but at times something equals suffering. What do you think the C times algebra is that creates the
Sorry.
amount of suffering? Resistance.
Yeah.
So there's a challenge. You times that by the amount of resistance you're bringing, and you'll have the amount of suffering. And one of the things that Justin and I do, and the reason why I like chunk it up this high to answer your question, is because this is everybody right now. If you bring the resistance down to a zero, all you have is the challenge. And then the suffering is very small. So there has been this element of me as a yogini that I don't see in the other moms at her preschool, where I'm relaxing into that moment. I am softening the lips of my vagina. I'm softening my tongue. I'm taking that deep belly breath. And I'm allowing what this moment is. And like, boom, there you are. It's just a little easier to just do that next thing. Then when Justin, he's really good about seducing me all the time. Like, this is one of my favorite things about our relationship is I'll be in there like making the school lunch, you know, and he'll just like, he'll do that thing, you know, where men just come and like press into you from ba the back. And because I'm just constantly like softening it down, I can go from like go mode, like gotta get her to school in 45 minutes, to like actually receiving that and taking that big breath with that and feeling a little turned on and then looking at them and being like, see you later. I really want to encourage, because when I was new in this work, like brand new little babe in the woods, I knew that softening was the name of the game. You know, not having that like energy was like what would really attract him. I became afraid to kick ass. I became afraid to be up to stuff. I became afraid to have an opinion. I became afraid to have any power. I became afraid of one whole half of myself, you know? And I got a little sick. Like I had a divided heart. It was like I was developing all of this like surrender, but like my get up and go, my like, I'm here to change this world really got lost because I was afraid of it. And that was a sickness that I had to cure in myself. When I did, it was so much sexier. This is my message, because polarity is the tension between opposites. And if you're like clinging to one side of your psyche and your abilities and your qualities, you lose the polarity in yourself. And then suddenly your man starts looking at you like, not as, you know. And when I got all my balance back and I was in my own tension of polarity between my own alpha and omega, suddenly I was super hot to Justin again, because it was like,
This is so
I was
interesting.
just fully loaded, you know? And so that's been one of my favorite triumphs in the path, is to like come back into my fullness from like every part of me and switch on a dime. You know, in the Awakened Woman's Guide, I talk about energetic agility for a reason, right? Because you can go omega, you can go alpha, you can switch it on a dime, you're not fixed. And that's how I've been able to pull this off, because you know, I can show up to my clients and just be the best alpha, you know, eagle looking down at the forest. And then Justin can like come up from behind me in the kitchen when I'm making my tea on my break. And I can be like the one standing at the tree with her feet in the moss, just having like an orgasm. You know what I mean? That's possible for all of us.
I love
Yeah.
that. That's
So
so
that's how
beautiful.
I'm doing it. If I chunked it all the way up across anybody's situation, that's how I'm doing it.
Oh, I love that. I love that mention of energetic agility because I think for a lot of people who go into this path, it's like, but now I have to be soft all the time. But actually, I also have a business or I'm doing stuff in this world and actually I kind of enjoy it. But I need to be soft. And it becomes this weird tension of not embracing all that you are when actually you can kick ass and soften and do that and switch between that within 2 minutes. The totality of that. And I love what you're speaking about here.
And can you
So,
see how, with the dog example, like the dog polarized you into alpha, And then it was like, where's Omega? Right. But if you realize that's what's happening, you go, okay, I got energetic agility. I can pivot. And it doesn't have to be the whole afternoon. It could just be like a minute. I can just give my partner a glance. And then I can go back and be like an awesome parent to this dog again. You know, and that's really like same with your business. Like you got to send that email. You got to like work out, take care of your body. You know, there's all these ways that you can love being in both streams.
So I know there's a very famous morning practice that you two have. So I've even heard this from friends who've gone to your programs that said this morning practice. And they have shared a little bit of it to me about what that is, but I am like dying to hear it from you because the things I have heard about this practice. So the famous morning practice, may I ask, what is that about?
Yes. Okay. That is so funny. Okay. So first of all, if I start talking a little esoteric, it's all in the book, Playing with Fire. So you don't have to track me, just know it's in the book, and I'll give like the simplest overview I can, but the book lays it out from A to B. It even has a formal practice guide in the back where it's like gives you the words and the structure, and you know, so it's all in there, just disclaimer. So the way the practice works is it starts with something we call I see, I feel. And what I see, I feel does is it reestablishes the two of you back on the same team. And so often, like we have this idea in Playing with Fire that like to introduce flames of desire and polarity and passion into your relationship without a hearth, you're basically building a fire in your living room. Like the curtains are going to go up before you know it. You know, polarity is dangerous. Polarity is hot. Polarity is scary. Polarity is edgy. Polarities can be weaponized. You know, like you're not masculine enough. Well, you're not feminine enough. Like polarity is dicey territory. And so playing with fire teaches you how to create a hearth. If you have a hearth and you build a fire in that hearth, it's perfectly contained. It warms the whole room. You sit in front of it and make love. You know, it's like it just creates that environment where polarity serves you so beautifully rather than destroys your life, you know? So I see, I feel is part of this hearth. And what it does is it allows the two of you to come together, not yet in polarity. But it's still polarized, but it's not the point. The point isn't polarity. The point is to totally establish love and trust. And so this practice perfectly sets you up. No matter, you could be fighting, you could be repelled by each other, you could be alpha alpha, butting heads over the dog, over the kid, over the business, you know, whatever it is. You could be omega omega, where it's like, you last night, once again, you ordered takeout, you binge watched Netflix, nobody felt like fucking. You know what I mean? It's just so like water meets water. But you sit in this practice and you do the I see, I feel, and immediately you're back on the same team. And then inevitably, polarity begins to rise on its own in that container. Because what creates attraction is trust. And most people are trying to fix a broken relationship through flames, the flames of passion, the flames of desire. But it ends up going so wrong and they don't know why. When you meet in trust and love, and then you create polarity from there, the bodies are completely uninhibited. The merger is, you know, that merger where you just can't get them inside of you deep enough. The devotion, you know, it just builds all of these pieces to have this perfect connection into the depths of union. That's the morning practice. So you create a time to formally practice. It doesn't have to be a morning practice, by the way. Lately, Justin, I've been doing it at night. When we were at the point of the book, we wrote it, we did it in the morning because who knew what time our 2-year-old was going to go to sleep, you know what I mean? Or how many times I would get called into nurse or whatever. Now she's pretty solid sleeper, so we often will do the practice at night. Sometimes we'll do it while she's at school. So the way it works is you sit in front of each other and you first just match breath. And then one person becomes the seer and the other person becomes the feeler. So the seer would place attention on the other. They're matching their breath, their left eye to left eye. And they would say, I see. So, like, if I was to do it with you right now, I could say, I see that you really love your audience and you love providing awesome content for them. And then the other person would take a breath with that and they would place attention on self and say, I feel. So they would drop in and say, I feel seen. I feel like I want to open to you, but I'm hurting. Or I feel ugly today, like I have nothing to offer. And then the seer goes again, like Justin. Sometimes it works best when you're really authentic and you're not hiding anything. And it's scary to tell your man, you feel ugly and you have nothing to offer. But man, I tell you, girlfriend, I felt that way through the entire terrible twos. Like every time we sat down, I would just be like, I feel terrible. And then he would be my seer and he'd say, I see the woman that's working so hard for our family and loves her daughter at her own expense. And I would just immediately start bawling and say, like, I feel cotton, And then he'd say, I see thighs I want to kiss. And I'd be like, really? And then I'd be like, I feel interested. It's just this, like, this is why you hear people talking about it. There's just, it's so good. It's so good. And it can be healing, like I feel really hurt and I don't know how to open to you again. And then, I see I've hurt you. It can be hot, like I see that you're dripping wet. And then, she says, I feel like I love your restraint. Like telling him, like the fact that you're not leaning in is so good, So it has all of these different flavors depending on how what's authentically there. But oh my God, everybody's using it in all these different ways. Like I even had another client who they just would go on a walk and they would, rather than having some mundane conversation that felt like crap, they would do an I see, I feel. And she's just getting all juiced up, and he's just like landing in consciousness, observing her, and feels awesome.
Oh my gosh, even just hearing you talk about it can just feel this like core desire of like, oh my gosh, that
Yeah.
would just be such deep nourishment to my soul to be spoken to like that, to be seen, and to just have the space to only feel and not to have to give anything back or anything. I'm sure a lot of women listening to this must be feeling that like, wow, that would be such a gift to receive that. I could imagine how that gets the juices flowing and the connection back because there's nothing else I need to do
Totally.
but to feel myself.
Absolutely. And also, there's a structure where you have to unfold because so often women are expected to like find that turn on and like jump right in, and you get to like be seen, just like be seen. I mean, by the end of it, you're just like ready to pounce. You know what I mean? It saved me in our last argument. Like, we connected in such a sacred way, and we came back together, like both of us feeling like heard and seen and loved and considered. It's hot as hell when there's nothing going on. It's just totally hot, and then there's all this restraint because he doesn't like go forward towards you. And so you can just feel yourself heat up and you find levels of turn on that you maybe hadn't felt in a long time. Because you just needed the time. And there's just so many things about it. That's why people are talking about
Yes, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
By the way, I do want to say, because I do this all the time and I give it to all my single clients, which is do it in the mirror to
I saw
yourself.
that in the book. I was like, okay, I'll do that.
Do it in the mirror to yourself. And the reason why is your inner marriage between Alpha and Omega is going to absolutely dictate the outer. So, like, if you feel like you're attracting guys who are super critical, you'll sit down in the mirror and you'll do an I see, I feel. So it's literally like you're looking in the mirror and you start with the eagle looking down at the forest and you say, I see. And then pull your attention in and feel. And then say, I feel. And
That
then your
agility.
seer here's your feeler. And in your feeler, here's your seer. And you're like dancing between these two things. Well, what you'll notice is if there's a bunch of critical guys in your field right now, you'll notice that your alpha is very critical and it will get woken up by the, like your omega will say, like, I feel ouch. I feel hurt by what you're saying. I feel, don't tell me to brush my hair, you know, like, because the critical come in, right? And then you clean that up, and then you notice that the guys who circulate around you start shifting. So I'm always telling women, like, your inner marriage creates your outer marriage. Clean it up, polish it, make it beautiful, have it be like a tango, have it be deep fuck, you know, you and you. And then you'll just notice everything's better. And I do this in relationship all the time. It's usually the first place I turn before I like pick an issue with my man.
That actually brings me to a really good question. I love this, like being in the I feel zone and getting to deepen that. I think there's a lot of shadow pieces in that for a lot of women. Maybe we don't even really feel very well what we're doing, but we're also, and you describe it so well in your book, we are weaponizing those feelings and we don't even realize we're doing it. I love, and I don't think this was in your book, but I read it somewhere else, of like the blame cry. Like I can
Oh,
cry
that's
at my
really
man, but
good.
actually I'm blaming him through my tears. And I'm like, why aren't you consoling me because I'm crying? But actually, and he's like, there's something about this. I don't want to be around that. So can you talk a little bit more about how we can feel from a healthier place, and especially in this like connection with our partner, and how can we can show up? I think you call that sensitivity of like, how can we bring more of that healthy sensitivity to our feeling?
It comes down to defenses. The truth of the heart awakens consciousness. Anyone who's been involved in this work for more than an hour knows that, right? Like the truth of the heart awakens consciousness. When we're in the truth of our heart, undefended, right in that deepest, most tender part, the one that's probably going to make you feel really vulnerable, possibly pathetic. I write a lot of stories about this in the book about my practice. I feel so pathetic 99% of the time because I'm just like laying it out there. But I'm laying it out there without like being bulletproof, being sassy, being, you know, a little guarded with my edge, you know, all of that isn't the truth of the heart. And so it doesn't awaken consciousness. It just amounts to like complaint, criticism, division, separation between you and him. You know whether you found your deepest, most vulnerable truth based on whether he awoke. Because when you have that sort of truth, it just slices his defenses too. He might not handle it well. He might, because when a man realizes genuinely how much he's hurt the one he loves, sometimes he will collapse and like go into his cave. And so you'll think like, oh man, that didn't achieve like the connection I wanted it to achieve. But inevitably he'll come back and he'll just say, I'm so sorry I hurt you. Or he'll just resolve to do better. And so sensitivity is interesting because we can think we're being sensitive, but we're actually being guarded, defended. We're like going to anger when what we really feel is sad, or we're going to sad when what we really feel is anger. We're pretending to be weak when we're actually power, or we're pretending to be power when we're actually weak. Sometimes we have a no, like a boundary. And because we're swallowing our no, we're losing our yes. And then we want him to be a mind reader and figure it out for us. So there's all these different ways that you can kind of think you're being this fully sensitized woman, but you haven't actually felt the thing that you're afraid to feel. So how do we know, or how do we change that? We know because he's not waking up. How do we change it? And we talk about this in the book at length. It's the full feeling breath into the belly, the willingness to take a full feeling breath all the way into the belly. That breath is going to wake up the feelings that we haven't been wanting to feel. And it's those feelings that change everything with our man. And so there's this element of like snowball to hell where it's like we guard ourselves, we hide what we're really feeling, we show some other feeling. He doesn't respond. It makes us more mad. Now we're divided. Now we're feeling the separation rather than the original insult. Then, you know, and it's just like, you can't even remember what happened anymore. Well, the answer is always stop, take a full breath, like so full that you could actually feel the pressure into the vagina. And then a 7-second sounded exhale, hand on the heart. And then, no surprise here, I feel.
Oh, I love it. That's so beautiful. I love what you touched on there, that we know when we've hit the truth of our heart, because it opens him, right? He has a response to it, and every time it shuts him down, it's often also a reflection of us not speaking the truth of our heart, because he's so good at feeling that. I saw you write in a post that to treat your partner as your guru, and I often like to teach about that we can that men are oracles too. They have an oracle for us, and we always talk about women as the oracle, but there's a truth that happens through the masculine that we don't hear and we get to receive from him. So can you speak a little bit more about like treating your partner as your guru? Because I love that concept of that level of devotion almost.
Absolutely. I love what you're saying because, first of all, I just want to acknowledge your teaching in this because it's so true. Yeah. When we talk about your partner as your guru, one of the things we mean is that, Justin and I teach a lot, right? And we lead a lot of workshops and we write books. It's very important to us that we don't become your guru. Your partner is your guru. And so often in these times, people can really make the teacher the guru. When the person who spends all of that time with you is your guru, they're there. You show your teacher what you want them to see. You show your teacher what you're ready to work on. You show your teacher your best practice. Your partner sees you in your most like mask off way. And when you begin to honor your partner's experience as a reflection of your practice, now you're really doing the real work. Now, that doesn't mean you give over your sovereignty to your partner. You let go of your boundaries. You put them before you. It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is you're in a two-bodied practice with your partner. Your partner can see you better than you can see yourself, just like you can see them better than they can see themselves. And so rather than, again, defend, or when they give you some feedback, be like, yeah, right. You know what I mean? To really take in, am I opening my partner or closing my partner? And let that be all the teaching you need that day. People spend so much time like running after the next practice, running after the next nugget, running after the next like miracle cure. But all you really need to do is ask yourself, am I opening or closing my partner? And remember, sometimes opening your partner will look like you bringing a fierce no, a wake up no, right? Other times it'll look like you softening into your own vulnerability. Other times it'll look like seducing them a little bit, kicking up the polarity. But all of the information is in that relational field between you and your partner.
Related to that, I struggle with that. I think a lot of women struggle with that. Like, how do we, when it's on the other side, how do we become his oracle and not his mother or his therapist? Like, what's the difference there? Because I saw you, I think you were writing something about when a man is brooding, which I thought was a great story of like what to do when a man is brooding. I'll get to that in a second, but you said something in there of like become his oracle, not his therapist or his coach or whatever, while still building him up. How do you feel like that difference? Because it feels all very close to each other.
That's a great question. Let me just drop in with this to find the concise way of saying it. Remember when I talked earlier about inside of trust, everything opens? The answer to the how do you not become his mother or his coach or his therapist, but his oracle? It has to do with this trust piece. So you might be like, what does trust have to do with that? Do you trust him to handle his own struggle?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it, right? If you do, you don't need to fix it for him. You don't need to give him the insight. Like the coaching is like, he's blind. Let me just tell him what's going on and then he can get this fixed. There's also the element of mommying him and coaching him that is self-serving, which is, I just want my man back as soon as possible. So I'm just going to speed this up. But look at what's underneath that. I don't trust him to get it in the timing I want him to get it. So I'm just going to fix those pieces for him. It never works. It never works. What works is to trust him and see how you can then bring everything about you, your inspiration, your muse, your sexuality, your oracle, your wise woman, right? Just because we are trusting him doesn't mean we don't add something in. Just because we are like his divine lover doesn't mean we can't see well. Like you could look at your man and you could say, I see you feel like you've lost your purpose. Now he's going to be like, but you haven't like jumped in there and been like, this is what you're really good at. And you should be focusing here. I mean, all of that's just going to destroy polarity. It's going to like turn you into like his unpaid coach, you know? And then there's this other element of like protecting him from his struggle where you pretend like you don't see it. Again, we're just putting icing on shit pies. You know, you mentioned to me, like, what's the secret of long-term relationship? The secret of long-term relationship is long-term relationship doesn't allow you to put icing on shit pies.
Because it'll start to stink at some point.
Yeah, you're gonna be like, this tastes terrible. I don't know why we thought this was tasting good. You know, you could get away with icing on a shit pie for like 3 months relationship cycling, but when you're doing the real and like the long term and you get to know each other at that deepest level, it's the authenticity that keeps the flames. But it's the authenticity without going into like therapy mode, coach mode, analysis paralysis mode, you know, like all these things that people do when they're trying to be authentic and then they just take giant dumps on the polarity. You know what I mean? You don't want to do that, but you could bring the power of your seer. You know, I see a man who wants to get it right and feels like he's failing. That's a hard truth, but it's loving. And it's like, I trust you to work this through. You know, you could tell him what you trust upon. You could say, you know, I trust you'll get it. You always do. You walk away. Tell me that's not like deep fuck from the yummy kitten, you know? I mean, who wouldn't want to get that from you? The other thing that we talked about, which the brooding piece, I'll just
Yes,
jump
I'm
into
so
it because it's
curious about
so
the
good.
brooding.
Like all these women always want to know, like, what about when he's brooding? And it's tough when a man's brooding. And what we tend to do is we want to meet him in the brooding. Like, well, if you're suffering, I'll suffer too. But most men, it's like you're the light of his life. You're the color in his black and white world, is like another Alison Armstrong says that, you know, you're the color in his black and white world. And so if you meet him in his brooding, it's like black and white meets black and white, you know, miserable meets miserable. And so you don't be afraid to go do some solo pleasure practice and like put on a cute outfit and walk by and be like, hey, sexy. And he'll be like, yeah, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, all right, Mr. Buzzkill. And you just give him a little push and then you walk out the room. These little like bright rays of sexual sunshine are like the medicine for him. But the thing is, here's the big mistake most women will make is they expect him to like pop right out of it and meet you there and like take you and like march you into the bedroom. They don't remember the rules of polarity, opposites. So like you're Miss like juicy, yummy flow and fun and cool. And he's Mr. Brood. If you could honor him with the dignity of his brood, you bring all of that, but you don't expect him to change. You're just like, you know, like I think when I told that story on Patreon, I'm pretty sure I told people that I nicknamed Justin Grumpy Grandpa. That's his
Grumpy
nickname,
Grandpa.
Grumpy Grandpa. And so I'll
Yeah,
come up and I'll
I
like,
know that archetype.
right? And I'll like shimmy my boobs in his face and I'll be like, I love you, grumpy grandpa. And I'll walk away. You know, because it's like, I don't need the polarity to change. He's the brooding, grumpy grandpa, and I'm the kitty cat that's just doing my thing. And it ends up being this beautiful, polarized exchange. And so, like, the message, the take home is don't look for same, same, honor difference. Isn't that cool? Isn't that so like we forget how basic that is? And we kind of want him to like meet us where we're at and be like sexy kitten too. And then God forbid he does, you're just like, oh, turn off. Like, love the difference, honor the difference, allow the difference. And so
I
that's
read that post of yours and I really thought, whoa, this is something I hadn't even caught in myself because I can feel that my innocent instinct is to be bubbly. Like that's
oh.
what I feel my instinct is when he's like down a when he's I call him grumpy old man, but when he's in that, like my instinct is actually to be bubbly. But I've always thought, oh, I can't do that because that's insensitive, or I should be like match his energy, but I don't want to match his energy. I
Right.
actually am like here. And it doesn't that he doesn't need to change, but you actually helped me feel like, oh, that innocent instinct that I feel is actually a really beautiful one. It's not being insensitive to him. It's just bringing the light in the room with some grumpiness, which is okay.
100%. Well, and also, if you match him, what did you just create? Same, same. Polarity killer. Now everybody's miserable.
Exactly. You spoke really beautifully in one of the videos. And by the way, I love them. It's so nice, like receiving wisdom like that. But You spoke about the difference between tension sex and ripple sex. And I love that word ripple sex because it's like that's exactly what it feels when you're in that like in sexual intimacy. It is like ripples of just energy happening. It's not about the skills or the moves or whatever. It's just can you talk a little bit more about tension versus ripple sex?
Let me just drop in with that. Okay, so a lot of people, when they are like more sexually immature, they're not as advanced in the sexual arts. They don't realize that a lot of their sexing comes from tension release. So, like makeup sex is a perfect example of this. We have a big fight, we feel like completely divided, we're all in this tension, and then we just like come
Sex it
together and
out.
like sex it out, which is nobody's saying makeup sex isn't amazing, but there's more, right? It doesn't have to be like that, because what a lot of couples do, again, speaking to the long-term relationship, is you can only bump uglies so many times before you've done it a million times, right? Or like I think I said it in Awaken One's Guide, is like when you see someone put their clothes on in the morning, you're not really going to want to tear them off at night. You already know the terrain. You already know what's there. And what's sad is when people only know how to have tension sex, they create it through fights. They generate fights to create tension to then come together sexually. They get into angst. How many of us do we know who are just angsting over the relationship all the time? Well, if you start like digging underneath that, you realize, oh, you're looking for tension, because then there's the resolution of tension, and we get addicted to creating tension, resolving tension, creating tension, resolving tension. You can also have a highly sexually fulfilling relationship without tension. Most people are like, nah, then it just gets boring. Then it's just sort of like, night, night. But it's not like this. When you're a sexual master, you are actually relaxing the tensions, and it's much more like universes mingling, and every little touch is like a ripple across the other. And then that ripple sort of, it's like a torsion field. It comes back and moves, and then a ripple here. And then, and you can make love for hours because there's not like a, have you ever had dream sex? Like when you both were dreaming, people naturally tend to do ripple sex and dream sex because they're so relaxed and they're so surrendered. They can just feel the bodies kind of like commingling and merging and morphing and bumping and twisting. But you can have that consciously. You can have that in the middle of the day if you understand how to create polarity without tension. Yeah. Now that's a much deeper understanding. And that's where you would want to turn to the book. When you truly understand what alpha is, consciousness, and when you truly understand what omega is, light, dynamic movement, stillness, when you understand these two things at deep, deep levels, you can bring them very effortlessly through your essences and then make love through those differences. And that's ripple sex. Did I answer this? Yeah.
Yes. Oh
Okay.
my gosh, I so feel it. I love that
Okay,
example of like dream sex because it's, yeah, I so feel that. I
good.
so
It's
feel
so good, isn't it?
that.
Justin and I did that 3 nights ago, and I swear to you, like I could taste it in my mouth. Like, to me, that's just so important for every woman to know who's like wanting long-term relationship, because you don't have to be afraid of harmony. You don't have to be afraid of best friend vibes. You don't have to be afraid of getting along perfectly, because it doesn't necessarily mean the end of the sex. In fact, it can mean sex that is hundreds of times better than tension sex.
What I am hearing from you, though, is that you are both very intentional about creating spaces where you are cultivating the fire. That you are both very intentional about creating spaces, creating moments where you connect, where you create the fire together.
Yes and no. Yes, for sure. And I talk all about that in the book. The one piece about no is what we are the most intentional about is maintaining trust and love, because polarity naturally arises out of trust and love.
Yeah, I love those too.
And when you get that confused and you like try and maintain the fire, you'll find yourself like, that's when you fall in the trap of like, uh-oh, will I turn him off if I have an opinion? Or like, if I'm in my mission, am I going to be invisible to him? But when you think about trust and love as your primary orientation, polarity just rip roars right out of that space. And then you feel very one with your polarity. You don't feel like polarity is kind of ruining your life and making it great at the same time. Have you ever felt that way? You're like,
Yes.
and if you want to know how to do that, it's all in the book, but that's what we are constantly compassing towards.
Okay, my final question for you is, I'm sure many people who are listening to this will have this question. What if my man isn't practicing, isn't into this, isn't whatever? What if it's mostly me as the woman that's interested in this work?
First of all, I'm sorry. It hurts. You know, I just want to send compassion because it's not fun to feel like you want depth and it's not there. It's not fun to feel like there's not room for you in the relationship, like your fullness isn't invited. And it's really not fun to yearn for something that feels like it's just not happening. That said, we always go first. We always go first. And I really want to prove this point with my story, which is I never once asked Justin to do sexual yoga. I didn't even tell him I was involved in it. When we met, he was just like your average muggle on the, you know, regular guy doing regular life, you know. His consciousness was momentous, but it was because he started meditating in his basement at 11. Like that was just his thing. And so because he had this very like karmic relationship with consciousness that he had never developed outside of his own exploration, he did have this je ne sais quoi that was amazing. But I never said like, I want to practice with you. I never said I want you to breathe me. I never said come to this workshop. I never said any of that. I just showed up with my practice. And eventually he had to ask, like, how come you're, you know, I remember one time we did this thing where I had my eyes closed and he just took his hands like 6 inches above my body and just started moving. And I had my eyes closed, but my body was literally moving with his hands. And I think it might have been that moment. I don't really remember. It was a long time ago, but he was eventually like, how come you're so sexually advanced? Like, how come you're so sensitive? How come you're so responsive? How come you manage to stay open when most women I know would punish me in clothes? You know, like what's the deal? And that's when I was like, well, actually, I study this thing. The reason why I bring this up is because I firmly believe that if I had said to him, I need to practice, I need you to practice with me, or if I had like pushed it, he would have never had the relationship with it that he has today because it would have been my idea. Instead, it was his idea. And now he's a teacher of it because he was able to step into the work of his own accord. Now, you might be like, okay, but that's just you guys. But it's not because I've been working with private clients for a very long time. I've had so many women. One woman in my last round had a particularly obstinate man. He wanted nothing to do with the work. He wanted nothing to do with sacred sex. And I had her start practicing all of the things and just completely release, you know, the outcomes of what he was going to do out of the picture. And she completely polarized him into all of it. Good example is, so she wanted to receive more. She wanted him to like really lead and receive more. And she was like, he's not leading anything. And he's, you know, I feel like I'm leading everything. And I was like, okay, so scale 1 to 10, how good is your receiving? And she was like, I'm sure it's a 9. And I was like, well, why don't you observe this week? So she started to notice that, like, for example, simple stuff like he would get home or she would get home from the grocery store and her big burly guy would be like, hey babe, I'll take the groceries in. And then she would be like, no, I got it. I got it.
Got it.
You go to the gym. And she would just like fumble the play. And I was like, listen, men are efficient. And so if he offers to take the groceries in and you go, no, I got it. I got it. He's like, she doesn't enjoy it when I do stuff for her. I'm not going to do anything else. So we started shifting. Like I had her receive what he was giving, which granted was very little. The next week, when he asks, hey, you want me to take in the groceries? She'd be like, oh my gosh, thanks. And then she would enjoy, go back to the
Yeah.
feeler of like, how good does it feel? And he started to notice. And I swear to you, Sophie, he started upping the
Of
giving
course. Yeah.
because she was like so fun to be around when he was giving.
Yeah.
And so many things shifted for them. Their sex life naturally erupted without her asking for a single change. He just needed to feel like there was a space for him to penetrate. She was receiving what he was offering. And then he naturally, and I mean, he wanted nothing to do with, like, I offered for him to come into her mentorship. He wanted nothing to do with it. But just by her fixing her side of the street, it was like fun for him to play. And he started playing full out.
Oh my God, I love this story.
Yeah. And
I love this.
so I would always say, like, I know it hurts. And I know all you want to do is just fix it and just tell him, get him, read the book, do the practice, breathe me, whatever.
Breathe me.
Where's your breath? I'm suffocating over here. You know what I mean? But what I want you to do is receive what's here. So, for example, let's say he's not breathing, he's breathing at a 2 out of a 10. Start receiving his breath and showing him, like, oh, it hurts. Go back to those feelings that wake up consciousness. Rather than making it about a practice, which is like, you suck at sex, let's teach you how to do sex. Make
Yeah.
it about the moment. Bring your part. Ask for more. Don't make it a thing. Just do it. You know what I mean? I've never had a client that didn't have radical results. I even have another client. He didn't want anything to do with marriage. They're engaged. He's all in. She just started receiving where he was at, where he was at. She didn't tell him what to do. And that was
Yeah.
like something he wanted to bring, but she had to get out of the way. And isn't so much of the feminine practice just about getting out of the way? So I really want to say, I'm sorry. I know it's awful. Have a good cry on your own time. Do the I see, I feel in the mirror every day to just like feel some sort of practice is present in your life, but then receive where he's giving and see if that doesn't shift things.
My gosh, I love that. That was really something that shifted my previous relationship, where I had to shift out of that too and receive him as he gives, not as I thought he should be giving, not as there should be more, but just really what was there. And everything changed.
How did it
Everything changed.
change? Like, what changed? Like, did he start getting a little more enthusiastic about giving?
I could feel that his nervous system went from, like, I'm afraid I'm constantly doing it wrong, towards, oh, I'm appreciated here. That feels good, right? Like, it was
That's
literally
great.
that. I could feel the, like, towards, oh, I'm appreciated here. And I love seeing her light up because of me.
And did it feel phony on your part or did it feel authentic? Yeah, see? It's authentic, right? Because you were
Wasn't
genuinely
funny.
receiving. Yes. Because I think some women hearing me say this might think, like, well, that's so phony. But it's not. Not if you do it like genuine receiving of what's here. And you don't have to fluff it up more than that. It's just genuine receiving of what's here.
Yeah, it's literally like carrying the groceries. You think, oh, that's like simple, whatever. But like, oh my gosh, isn't that so nice that he wants to carry your groceries? Thank you.
Yeah. And then you can walk behind him and be like, damn, does your butt look good in those jeans?
Yeah,
You
he just says strong, yum. Exactly that, exactly that. Oh, thank you so much, London, for today. Thank you, thank you
So
so
fun.
much.
So fun. I loved all your
Oh.
questions. You just brought up all the juicy bits.
I was preparing and I was like, these are some good questions. I'm excited. Getting all worked up by myself. If people want to work with you, want to be in your world, I know you have a Patreon going on. What's obviously get the book, highly recommended it, and it's what
Yeah,
I
the
said
book
earlier.
is
It's
the
so well
key.
structured. I love that. Like, it's
And
so
there's
it
an
makes it so good to
audiobook.
understand. Is
There's
there?
an audiobook. Yeah. So if you're not like, if you love to just drive around and listen to good stories, the audiobook. The Patreon is a monthly women's group. We also have couples, and then there's a men's group. So if you really want to kill polarity, you could send your man to the men's group.
Here, go.
Like,
I
if
bought
you're gonna tell them what to do,
it
that's yeah, that's the only thing you could do. Yeah, other than that, I mean, I have a pretty sizable waiting list to work with me privately, but that's why I do Patreon so that I can be available and answer questions every month. And then we also do private workshops. So we have, I think we're sold out until April, but we do have, I believe, an event in April that Justin's filling right now, and they happen in Sarasota, Florida. So it's right next to Lido Key, where it's like white sand beach, and
Oh,
it's a
sounds
really
like
nice
gorgeous.
environment.
Oh,
Yeah,
it's
it's a
so
great
nice.
place to do sexual yoga.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really mean it.